Hello and welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to episode 52 of the Footmarks podcast. I'm your host, Behram Kazi, who you can find at Def Mango on Twitter. And with me, as always, is Jared Kimber, who you can find literally everywhere. And the topic for this particular episode is, or the title rather, is Malinga Reborn, because we are going to be talking about the latest right arm sling bowling pace sensation from Sri Lanka, Mathisha Pathirana, who has had a brilliant couple of years, and we'll be going over both his story and his performance in detail. But just before that, 52 episodes, Jared, that means we've been doing this for a year.
It does. Is that also the same amount of tests that Don Bradman played?
Is it?
I think so. I mean, I should know that off the top of my head. But congratulations. Mm-hmm. Raise the cap to ourselves, I suppose.
Yeah. I'll raise my headphones and a big round of applause for all the back-end team as well, Ishit and everybody who helps us churn these out.
AJ back in the old day. We've had lots of people work with us, so thank you to all of them.
Yeah, and everyone who contributes to the titles. We've been starting to have these polls in the group, so it's a lot of fun making these for you. And
you've been starting to have these polls. Let's not include me on that, please.
You voted, okay? So you are included.
In some ways, it's just to placate you.
But anyway, Malinga Reborn, I think, makes for a good title. And let's kick off this story with Pathirana's origin story. And his mother, you know, she wanted young Mathisha to take his studies seriously. And she also wanted him to grow up to be a pilot. So she burnt his bat in a fit of rage. And the kid starts, swinging a stick around instead and starts hitting stones from the upper story of his house. And then he breaks a window in the neighborhood, which prompts his father to go and buy him another bat to prevent more breakage of windows. It's a very standard, believable subcontinent cricket origin story, isn't it?
Yeah, the thing that surprised me, so when I heard it, I was like, okay, I get that. Like, he's maybe 7 or 8 and he's whacking the ball against the wall and he's annoying everyone or whatever. But he was like 12 or 13 by the sounds of it, right? Yeah. Like, that's incredible that we saw that. And the other thing that's interesting is that he wasn't a bad student. Like, usually that story would be because he was a bad student. And then you're like, well, look, mum's gonna mum, right? It's like, she was like, no, just in case you ever become a bad student, you're still playing too much cricket. So I think it's a really, really interesting story, and it's a hell of an origin tale, isn't it?
I mean, I've heard stories of people breaking bats, but burning a bat is taking it to the next level, right? So she really, really meant it. But anyway, let's move on to kind of talking about slingers in general, because he is a slinger, and it is, you know, a type of bowler now in cricket, which you see more and more of, not just in Sri Lanka, but I've seen a bunch of slingers in Pakistan as well, for instance.
Yep.
And, what makes them unique and dangerous is that the release points for slingers are extremely low. They're pretty much delivered from the midriff of the umpire, as opposed to over the bowler's own head. And considering Pathirana also bowls at high pace, consistently over 140 clicks and sometimes over 150 clicks as well, just how awkward and tasking is that to face as a batter?
Essentially, what happens in cricket is you are trained on a few basic things. So once you get to, let's say, 18 to 20, you have faced probably tens of thousands of bowls, and you see all the trigger movements of the way that bowlers run in and the way that they deliver and where the ball comes from. So even if the bowler has a weird thing with his hands, like was a Makram holding the ball, hiding the ball, or Benny Howe hiding the ball, or Sunil Narine hiding the ball, you know that at a certain point, you're only going to have to look above the bowler's or above the umpire's, left shoulder, if it's a right arm bowler, in that area, and the ball's going to come out. Everything that you have is trained on that. And Pathirana is even lower than Malinga in where he comes out from. And I think it looks like he has longer arms than Malinga as well. So it might even be further across. Yeah. It is ridiculous to release a ball from there. And there is no way you can train yourself for that. And it's why Malinga had such a brilliant career, even on the days when he didn't always bowl well. He still, if he got batters who hadn't faced him much, there wasn't much you could do against him. And even when he slowed down, he still was dominant. And Pathirana is really, really quick, and he's lower. And as I said, he might have a longer arm. Batters just, there's no way to prepare for that.
Yeah. I mean, you just have to face it to learn. And you mentioned Malinga, so I want to come to him for a bit over here. And he's got a splendid IPL legacy, right? He's got 4 titles with Mumbai and he's literally tormented the Chennai Super Kings. He picked up 37 wickets against them, which at the time of his retirement was the joint most for any single player versus a particular opposition team in T20 cricket. And again, this was at that time. And the Super Kings, you know, back in the day would have loved to nab Malinga from their arch rivals, Mumbai. But instead, they picked up the next best slinger to come out of Sri Lanka. And how the tables have turned.
Yeah, I mean, if Malinga had played with Chennai, how many titles would Chennai have ended up with rather than Mumbai, right? Like if that had happened. And I remember after Malinga, every team in the world looking for someone with an odd action. That was the big thing. There's a guy who played in the Big Bash, and I forget his name, but I remember Jackson something. Was it Jackson? I've forgotten his name now. But I remember everyone going, oh, no, he's really good. He's got a weird action. and like, that was the thing. And, you know, we saw that, and that was all based off Malinga. That's how important he was. So for Chennai to end up with their own version of that, and to be fair, Mumbai have another slinger himself, but he doesn't look quite as quick or quite as threatening, at least at the moment. I think it's a really important thing.
Yeah, plus he recently performed really well against Mumbai. So we'll come to that. But he basically gave them a taste of their own medicine. Interestingly enough, though, Chennai recruited or scouted Pathirana before he had ever played for Sri Lanka, right? And they tried to even bring him in as a net bowler back in 2021, which was interestingly enough an offer that Mathisha refused. He turned that down because of commitments to his school team, so probably scared of his mother, I'm assuming. but that's not something that happens very often with foreign players in the IPL. Do you know exactly how that scouting process like went down? Who identified him?
No, I do know that that there is pretty good scouting now. So there's a few guys who do it independently and they come up with dossiers on players and they send them off to a couple of teams. There's a few other teams who they get footage and then they send it off to what you would call maybe major scouts to say, look, I've just found this guy. What do you think? It's not like American sports or like football at the moment. Within 10 years, I think it'll be much more like that sort of thing. And he's not the first player to turn down a Nets offer because sometimes you don't get paid a lot to bowl in the Nets. And even though it's a huge opportunity for future earnings, you might be playing somewhere else at that time or, you know, you might have other issues that are going on. But it's mostly, there's a lot of, if you go to IPL Nets and you have a look and you know who these players are, you'll be like, oh, I've seen that guy. He played under-19s cricket for whoever. Or I've seen that guy. He just played a CPL season or whatever. So there is a lot of younger players coming from around the world. So it's a thing that happens. But yeah, more interesting in his case because he said no.
Yeah. And also, he was still in school and they still wanted him as a net bowler. So it's quite crazy. But in 2022, Pathirana was called up by Chennai as a replacement for Adam Milne. And he still hadn't been selected in any Sri Lankan international squad yet, by the way, let alone play for them. His action obviously caught everyone's attention, but a lot of people were skeptical and had their reservations with respect to his accuracy and control. He has, of course, improved in that aspect in these last 2 years since, but his IPL journey, I would just think that like it's in stark comparison to that of Malinga's, isn't it? Because Malinga, you know, was already an established bowler. Maybe not the same legend that he ended up as when the IPL started, but he was established. And he had already taken that 4-4 versus South Africa in the ODI World Cup, right? So he was already...
Everyone knew who he was, right?
Yeah, he had had his I am him moment in a way.
Yeah.
And Pathirana, on the other hand, forget established. This guy was going to school right now and he hadn't even like been in Sri Lanka's plans. He was an amateur with raw pace as opposed to a seasoned professional like Malinga was. And Pathirana on his day could be really, really erratic on his day. So it's a very stark contrast between the two, like two very different, you know, arcs with respect to the IPL.
Yeah, we didn't know much about T20 cricket when Malinga came through and he probably helped set a lot of the template, right? But what we did know is that experienced international players who were good at white ball cricket could translate over to something approaching that. Pathirana is that next level that we're seeing now. We saw it with Marco Janssen, Dewald Brevis. You could almost throw Fraser McGurk in there, although maybe not quite. But, you know, these players who sort of come from nowhere and are thrust into these positions. David Warner, we saw it with, and all sorts. there is an element of that's where the game is going, and it makes sense. You're not just trying to get a good team. You're trying to get the talent before someone else is. It's a very different kind of market to international cricket. International cricket's like, we'll bowl him when he's ready, and we'll be there. Whereas CSK is probably thinking, we need to know if he's ready so we can offer him a contract for next year. And all. It's a very different situation, so it makes sense.
Yeah, checks out. And Pathirana, of course, is a Gen Z baby. He was born in 2002. He wouldn't even remember a world without the IPL, right? And he entered the fray when the franchise T20 ecosystem was booming. It still is. And to be called up as a young, uncapped 19-year-old to play for one of the IPL's most decorated teams of all time is massive. And I'm sure he would have felt that, right?
Oh, no doubt. I think, the players who are making their debut in the IPL now, who haven't got any other background, it's different than making your debut in that first 5 years or so of the IPL, right? When, it was still a new tournament. It's a big deal. There's big crowds and everything, but whatever. I think now everyone knows this is as big as making your debut in a World Cup for your country, right? Like, it's a big, big deal. Take it very seriously. It could change your life. You know, for someone like Pathirana, who's probably not going to be a pilot now, it changes his earning potential, perhaps to, his family, the next generation of his family, the inherited wealth that he'll be able to get and everything else. And as you said, he would have grown up thinking this was a big deal. And so he's going in there. It's way different to what it would have been in the early part of the IPL.
I would love to have a conversation with him and just talk to him about how big of an influence Lasith Malinga was, because he was a champion bowler for Sri Lanka. And that's probably where the slingy action comes from, because, Malinga, debuted in 04, 05, something like that. Pathirana's first game for Sri Lanka that he watched as a conscious cricket fan probably featured Malinga, right? And you can tell that he did obviously idolize him, because he chose Malinga's number 99 for his Chennai jersey as well, right? And he struck first ball, if I'm not wrong, in the IPL. And even though he warmed the bench for the most part in that 2022 season, a year later, he was viewed as Chennai's death over specialist. And not just for that season, but for years to come, he was kind of earmarked as that guy. Which, if you think about it, is a lot of pressure for a 20-year-old. And he's handled it extremely well.
Yeah, I remember that. So good was he at the death. And I can't remember who this was, but there were some pretty major questions asked of whether he could bowl in any other phase of the game. And he probably still not a great new ball bowler. And Malinga did become that. And he probably still needs to round out his game. And I think I've said this before, but if I was Chennai, I would be sending him around to a couple of other leagues and saying to the other leagues, and if they own the teams, I don't think they own that many teams, but maybe the Texas side is one of theirs, isn't it? But if they own one of the other teams, they could say, okay, we'll have him play here, but we only want him to play in the power play and bowl one over at the death. We want him to really develop his other skills because he can go, he can be even more special. Because you could make him an all innings bowler, then you've got potentially the next Bumrah.
Yeah, no, 100%. And if you look at his impact in this IPL, it's just second to Bumrah, right? Only Bumrah has been better. But there's another thing that I want to talk about with respect to Mathisha Pathirana. And we've discussed this in Uncovered. Or overthrows one of those. But since this is a podcast dedicated to him, I think it's very important to mention that here is a kid with, a Sinhalese ethnic background, and he is a star in Tamil Nadu's IPL team. That is quite a remarkable arc on its own, one which builds bridges between people who have seen conflict in the past. And yeah, I think that's the one thing your piece missed.
You have a go at Estelle for that. She didn't put that in. But I do think it is interesting. They have picked a lot of Tamil players before Chennai, haven't they? And so they have had a lot of Sri Lankan players come through at times. And there certainly has been a link there. It's interesting then to go in this other direction. I don't know how much you know about the Tamil situation, but it's way more complicated than we probably could have put in this particular video, because there is different kinds of Tamils within Sri Lanka. There are the way that they look at their Tamilness is very different than sometimes the people in Chennai look at their Tamilness. So there are other issues there, but you're right. It's another interesting moment for them from that perspective. I think it's a very valid thing to mention. Cricket 8 brings you this show. They are a new player in the game trying to educate fans on what is really happening in cricket. Head over for their watch-alongs, podcasts and articles on what is happening on the field and why it matters. Cricket 8 is your place for cricket intelligence.
He is a kid who was born after the Civil War. So, you know, yeah. Time has passed, but it's an interesting
thing. And then there's now a Sri Lankan Premier League side or Lanka Premier League with the Tamil side, you know, yeah. A very different world that he's in than was before.
Absolutely. And I mean, I love those sort of stories anyway. But Pathirana was instrumental in Chennai's 2023 title winning campaign. He ended the tournament as their most economical seamer. And he was always also bowling the toughest overs all the while, right? At the back end of the innings. And he had 19 wickets in total, with 18 coming at the death at an economy of just over 8, right? So even at this point, he had bowled a grand total of 1 over in international cricket for Sri Lanka. So tell me, Jared, were Sri Lanka sleeping on this pace bowling prodigy?
I think we both know they've got a lot of good bowlers. I think he was good in that 2023 season, but I also think it was very fair to say he wasn't completely in control of what he was doing at all times. And because of that, they maybe had other options that they could go with, but he probably should have played more games for Sri Lanka by that point. I find it hard to argue against that.
Yeah, every time I see his record, well, whenever I open his cricket info and I see how little he's played for Sri Lanka, I'm always left shocked, right? That's especially in T20s. I've seen him play ODI cricket, and even that at that point, I was thinking, like, why would you not blood him in T20 cricket first? He's that asset. But, you know, let's come back to that title-winning season, and Pathirana's true numbers also check out. Right, his overall true economy was 1.34 and his true wickets were -0.05. At the death, however, where he took 18 of those 19 wickets, his true economy jumped up to 2.93, which is a good thing in true statistics. Maybe some people don't know, but...
Three runs better per average than what we expect him to go for.
Yeah, and his true wickets also went up to 1, which means that he's taking one more wicket per spell than every other bowler, right? That tells you just how instrumental Pathirana was towards CSK securing that fifth IPL title.
Yeah, no, I think he was really, really important. You know, we've seen some good bowlers come into the tournament, and just, like Tamal Mills had success all around the world and couldn't make it work when he got his chance in the IPL. Jai Richardson, fantastic bowler. Jason Behrendorf, right? There's some good bowlers who have come in and haven't been able to make it work. And even guys like Nokia have had one good year, and Pat Cummins have had one good year, and then it doesn't work for them and all those sorts of things. To have someone in their second year with no international experience behind them and be that good is ridiculous.
Yeah, absolutely. And even if we come to this current IPL season where Pathirana has, of course, struggled with injury. He did well first up versus Gujarat. I think he could have won for 29. Then he doubled up with a better performance versus Delhi, took 2 wickets, was economical, took a worldie of a catch at short third. I'll never forget that. That is one of the contenders for catch of the IPL, at least this season. And then he absolutely wrecked the Mumbai Indians, taking 4 for 28 against them in a game where nearly 400 runs were scored. And that spell included 12 dots as well. And if you consider that Pathirana bowled the 18th and 20th over, that is even a wilder statistic than it was before. That must have felt sweet for Chennai fans who were terrorized by Malinga in a Mumbai shirt for all those years. So now they had their own Malinga.
Yeah, I thought he was really good last year, but raw. This year he looked a lot more accurate. And I think he's a lot more confident in what he's doing. I think Bumrah is still the best bowler in T20 cricket. But I don't think Pathirana is all that far behind him on current form, right? So we're not talking about overall and, you know, in their career. But on current form, if I couldn't get Bumrah, the second, and Jofra Archer's injured, right? Pathirana is the next seam bowler I would be picking. And maybe just the next bowler.
Yeah, interesting one. And I mean, he is kind of a hipster pick at this point, but anyone who's viewed these last 2 years in the IPL or his performances will definitely, you know, they won't think that this is a bit of a
you can't hit him. Yeah. You cannot hit him, right? And he also is going to take wickets. Almost no one bowls at the stumps anymore. It's like him, Bumrah. I think there's one other bowler I'm forgetting who's left bowling at stumps. Everyone else is bowling wide Yorkers. And he's like, I'm going to bowl at the stumps because you're not going to hit me anyway. That just tells you what level he's at the moment.
Yeah. And he's so young as well. So we can only imagine what he'll develop into. This season, of course, in 2024, was cut short for Pathirana due to a hamstring injury. So he's gone back to Sri Lanka. But he still managed 13 wickets in just six outings, which is phenomenal. And yeah, I mean, if you look at this season for Chennai, he was their trump card. They are going to miss him, you know, in the remainder of this tournament. By the time this podcast comes out, we'll know if they made it to the playoffs or not, because this is pre-recorded. But given that 40% of his deliveries have been dots and his economy stands at 7.68, which only increases to 9.11 at the death, it is fair to say that he is, like, statistically even second only to Bumrah. That is what the numbers tell us. And when it comes to impact, he has literally been one of the best seamers on show, right? Because he comes on and he makes something happen. He either takes a wicket, goes for no runs, or bowls five wides.
You know, I'm trading on the games, and there are three bowlers that no matter what my position is, when they come on to bowl, I unless I'm on their team, which I very rarely am for Bumrah, but unless I'm backing their team, I will stop my position just for the next six balls because they've been so brilliant. And Pathirana, he got me once or twice early in the season. I was like, that's it. He is way too good. And I am, his next six balls could completely change the trajectory of this game. And so it is better to not even be involved with that or to bet on him directly. And this has been a batting world IPL. Look at the amount of runs that people have been scoring. And you're talking about a kid with almost no experience at all, who's almost never played for Sri Lanka. And he's already, and the other two bowlers are Bumrah and Narayan.
Yeah.
Right. So he's the third bowler in that triumvirate. Right. And I'm even Kuldeep. Maybe when Kuldeep and Akshar are bowling together, I might feel that way. Rashid Khan, kind of emotionally, you want to feel that way, but he hasn't been bowling as well.
Yeah.
There isn't anyone else. There isn't anyone else I feel is an absolute banker in the way that Pathirana is right at the moment. And I expect him to take more wickets this year. Like watching him bowl this year, just purely eye test, I expect him to take more wickets this year than Bumrah has. He looks more likely to take wickets than Bumrah, even if Bumrah is more likely to go for no runs.
Yeah, and I mean, if he did play the full season, you never know, he might have been a purple cap contender. But
he might have taken 400 wickets.
Yeah. And another fun stat that you digged up was that Pathirana is 141% better at not conceding sixes than what is expected of him, which is fucking wild. I mean, if you talk to me.
Yeah.
And when you compare that to other IPL seamers this season, he stands as this complete anomaly on the scatter graph, right? He's in an area of his own, and in an age where, or at least in a tournament, where six hitting is more frequent than, I don't know, man, pigeon scooing. I can't come up with a better analogy right now, but that is an invaluable trait to have.
It's incredible. I think I knew he didn't get hit for sixes a lot, and part of it is just the action, right? So you and I are both willing to go, yeah, that makes sense. But the difference between that and then you put him on the scatter plot and you suddenly go, oh my God.
Yeah.
Like, he's nowhere near, even the other guys who don't get hit for sixes get hit for sixes a lot compared to him. You cannot hit him for six. That is such an important skill in the way that the IPL has played this particular year. But just in general, like, if he can keep this up, like, he's a one-man revolution against the T20 batting.
Yeah, no. And I mean, he's just started, right? Who's to say where this career ends up? And of course, we'll get to that. But just on this season, right? At the time of recording, only Bumrah, Sandeep Sharma and Sunil Narayan have better true economies than Pathirana's 2.37. And his true wickets value of 0.97 is only bettered by Dre Russ, who we all know always has a knack for taking that important wicket in this season. That last part basically means that he is a wicket per spell better than the rest of the league. And I mean, how can you be that good this early in your career? And you're not even like, you know, fit most of the time.
Generally, with a player like him, you would expect him to either be great at striking or not going for runs.
Yeah.
The combination of both is the bit that is incredible. And so, you know, someone like Arshdeep, I've taken a huge interest in Ashdeep, and I think he's a really talented bowler. But there, I always thought he's probably not going to be able to match good economy and good average. And I thought it got to a period where he's swinging the ball both ways and maybe he would get there, and it hasn't quite worked. You know, and you see that with lots of guys. Tushar Deshpande is a guy that's taken him years to work out how to combine. He's always been able to take wickets. He's been a natural wicket taker, but that other part of it. And there are plenty of bowlers who are still really useful because they can do one of those things at elite level. If you do both those things at elite level, you are Bumrah or Malinga, right?
Basically. And
we're not saying he's going to be like that forever. But right now, that is what his numbers look like.
Yeah, current form certainly suggests that he has that combo. And it is absolutely priceless to, you know, be economical and take wickets in T20 cricket or any sort of cricket, really. Like, you could play any format and that's a great combo. But unsurprisingly, Pathirana also has a tendency to bowl more wides than everyone else. And yet he concedes negligible runs. So the wides are there. 150 clicks every now and then. And you know how, you know, express seamers will get edged for four a lot or top edged for six at times. And in an IPL where everyone is getting smashed, he is still bowling wides and not giving away any runs. So he's basically the most economical bowler who is equally likely to bowl five wides, which basically makes him a freak, right?
I don't know how to fully explain this one. You can't hit him for six. You can hit him for four a few times, but it certainly doesn't go. It's not like he's not going for sixes, so he's getting hit for more fours. He's getting hit for a normal amount of fours without any sixes. And the best chance you have of scoring off him is five wides.
Yeah.
And I looked this up because I had a theory. So I think Estelle had written a majority of the piece. I added a couple of things that I knew. And then I was like, I better try this wides thing. You know, I sent a message to Devon. I'm like, can you look this up? And he sends that back. And I was like, oh my God. Because I would have thought with his economy rate, he couldn't have been going for as many wides as I thought he was going for. Mm. He is going for more wides than I thought he was going for and still not going for any runs. So that means that you cannot hit him at all. And you really have to wait for him to make a mistake. And even when he makes a mistake, it's such a bad mistake, you still can't hit him.
He's bowling all of those wides in an era where you've got those wide reviews and so many times the third umpires mess that up, you know? And still, he has that many. So it's crazy how he's still so economical. But, you know, he's still 21 years of age, Pathirana. And he has immense potential. I think no one will disagree over there.
Also, his action,
yeah,
it should be wides.
Yeah.
He shouldn't be. He's not Chris Wokes. If Chris Wokes is bowling a wide, it means that he's tried to get too tight to the batter or the ball swung, right? If Pathirana's bowling a wide, it's because he's coming in and slinging the ball at 93 miles an hour. And so if he gets it wrong, he's probably going to get it wrong massively in probably not length, although he can do that occasionally. It's probably going to be on one side or the other. And if you're a wicketkeeper, good luck.
Oh, yeah, definitely. But anyway, there is one major issue with Pathirana, even though the career is very young right now, but he has struggled big time with respect to remaining fit. And that also makes sense given the slingy action, right? And fast bowlers in general do tend to struggle with injury. But with that action, you know, maybe the stress in certain parts of his body, you know, breaks that body down a bit too frequently for his liking. But how big of a challenge do you think this will be for him, you know, avoiding injuries, moving on? Because it's a challenge for every fast bowler as is. And we've seen how much Bumrah has struggled with this, right? With his awkward action. Do you think that this can be managed appropriately?
What do you think of Malinga? How often do you think Malinga was injured?
I thought that Malinga's action, it had a certain smoothness to it. You know, there was a little lock and load up front. And then the sling came. With Pathirana, it's like someone is chopping down a tree with half an axe. Okay, so it's a bit different that way. It's maybe not as smooth. It's more raw. It's more like brute force in a way, you know, less rhythmic than Malinga, which is why I feel like there's got to be some part of that body which is under immense stress for him to do that. You know, for instance, Yasir Shah was compared with Shane Warne a lot, right? But if you notice the two, Yasir Shah's entire body strength came from his back. Wasn't the case with Shane Warne. So there was a big difference in that action. I think there's something similar at play with respect to Pathirana and Malinga.
If you need your pitch changed, well, NordVPN can doctor any surface to a new location so that your IP address is set for you to win. Want to watch a game on a free stream in another hemisphere? Give NordVPN the ball. Or if you just want to watch a clip on social media that a cricket board won't allow, promote NordVPN to pinch hit. So if you need a VPN, go Nord. Use nordvpn.com/Kimber to get a 2-year contract with a discount, plus 4 extra months and gifts in some markets. It's completely risk-free with Nord's 30-day money-back guarantee. The link is in the show notes. Protect your computer like a bowler protects the boundaries in the death overs with nordvpn.com/Kimber today. So my point is that we don't have many guys who've ever bowled with this action before. Hmm. So we don't actually know if it's an injury prone action. Hmm. And I mean that from a point of view is we know it's injury prone because he's injured. And we know it looks like it should be an action that is injury prone. Hmm. And he's a fast bowler, so he should get injured anyway. Hmm. But we don't know that much information about it. And as you said, Malinga is slightly different. They are, you know, and different. They're different physical specimens as well, let alone that they have a slightly different action, even though they do a similar thing. So we don't really know if it's an injury-prone action. We don't know if it's just because he's a young guy bowling 90 miles an hour and so he's getting injured normally. There wouldn't be that much biomechanical testing on actions like this because we've only had 3 at the top level of professional cricket for any period of time. The rest of them quite often never even make it to professional cricket. And so we don't know much about it. So I don't know if he is injury prone because of this action. I don't know if he's injury prone because he's just injury prone, or I don't know if he's injury prone because he's a fast bowler and they're always injury prone.
That's true.
All three.
I suppose we'll need to give it about 5 years and a biomechanics specialist to kind of break that one down for us. But hopefully, you know, he doesn't get injured all too much because, you know, it is a sight to behold. Watching him play is fun. You don't want to miss that over. And particularly for Chennai, you know, he is so, so crucial towards that the death overs. And I'm hoping that he's able to translate that same kind of form for Sri Lanka as well, because Chennai has that weird thing about themselves, right, where they bring the best out of players. Mustafizur for Chennai and Mustafizur for Bangladesh are 2 different beasts at times. But yeah.
Yes, Moeen Ali, Sam Curran. Mm-hmm. You know, they're very good at understanding roles. Hmm. And my worry is that they're going to try and make him into just the death bowler, whereas actually they'd be much better off to use him in multiple ways. Because I think that if I'm right, and I might not be, but if you spend 2 years developing the other parts of his game, I don't think he's going to get worse as a death bowler. Hmm. And if you can also make him absolutely brilliant in the power play, good luck facing that with a new ball, because I remember what Malinga could be like with a new ball. Yeah, you don't want, no one wants to go up against that. One over in the power play, maybe you turn him, even if you turn him into a Bumrah like power play bowler where he bowls to fourth, right? Or Rabada, you know, that kind of, even that is huge. And if he's as much of a threat there as he is everywhere else, I mean, you can do whatever you want with him there.
That's true. And I mean, it is a fair point because he's so young, you could even develop him further. And also, until you try something, you don't really know how good he could really be. So, Deepak Chahar would probably have to retire for that, for Chennai to go that direction. But anyway, let's again come back to the comparison with the great Lasith Malinga. Now, he's arguably or unarguably the best slinger this sport has ever seen. There are a few, but I feel like Malinga takes the cake over here. And Pathirana, despite his early success, is still far, far away from that level of mastery and success, you know, as compared to Malinga. But also, Pathirana can bowl those slower ones. He's got a killer Yorker. He can bounce batters. And plus, as you mentioned earlier in this podcast, his sling comes at an even lower level than Malinga's, right? And he could end up being the fastest ever bowler produced by Sri Lanka because he is really, really quick. It remains to be seen how long he can continue to do that. But we can all agree that the ceiling is extremely high. Matisha Pathirana. But also, the journey is extremely long and he's just at the start of it. So taking all of that into account, do you think that, say, 14 or 15 years from now, can Pathirana usurp Malinga as the greatest slinger of all time?
So the injuries is the unknown. If you're asking purely on talent, from what I've seen so far, I think he could be better than Malinga. Hmm. But Malinga wasn't just talent. Malinga wasn't just talent and a weird action. He was also incredibly smart and became, you know, a next level thinker about the game. I haven't seen that from Pathorana yet, but Pathorana has barely played. So I don't know if he has that in him. If he can get, if he can do that. And the other thing that he can do is Malinga really lost pace early on. Malinga went from, I think he was almost as quick as Pathorana, right? When I first saw him, to by the end, he wasn't quick. If Pathorana ends up...
That belly, Malinga's belly came in pretty early.
Yeah, but even before he lost his, even before he lost his fitness, I thought he was, already had started to slow down, right? I mean, he was 90 miles an hour when I first saw him, and he was not 90 miles an hour, you know, for most of his career. If Pathorana can stay at 90 miles an hour, that's two skills. You're releasing the ball from a weird position. No one can hit you for six. You've got a Yorker anytime you want it. Your short ball is always going to be a pain in the butt. You know, you've got all these different advantages and you're fast, right?
Yeah.
I just think that's such a huge advantage. And Malinga was so good, he didn't need that pace. But if Pathorana can keep that, that's that for me, it, you know, and he can get a really good intelligence about it. And, you know, everything we know about him, he was a good student. He was, you know, he's on his way to being a pilot, at least at one stage, maybe when he was 12, but, I was never on my way to being a pilot, so I respect that. If that is legitimately the sort of guy he is, then I think he has a potential higher ceiling than Malinga. And I also think that if Malinga came through now, rather than when he did, I would say that Malinga now would have a higher ceiling just because the professionalism and you know and everything else has gone through the roof at a different level. So that's what I would say with Pathorana. It could also be the situation where he loses 15Ks in the next 3 years and he's not of much use and he can maybe he plays every now and again and he bowls at the death and his range is literally being as effective as Bumrah. I don't know if he could be the same level of bowler as Bumrah, but being as effective as Bumrah and his range is being out of the game at the top level in 3 years' time.
Yeah.
Because we don't know what the physical toll will be. We don't know if he'll be able to repeat this. We don't know if what happens if he gets the yips, right? Yeah. And he struggles to land it for a little while. What happens if he goes back to bowling wides and that ruins his thing? What happens if one of these injuries means he has to release the ball in a different way and it never comes out right? Or, as I said, what happens if he just loses 15Ks and he hasn't developed any other skills other than just slinging it at top speed? Then that's a potential situation for him, right? Yeah. I'm hoping that doesn't happen. I'd love to see the top end, but it could be a really fascinating journey. He's not the first person with freakish skills who hasn't made it before if he doesn't make it. And he might end up just less than Malinga just because it doesn't quite click the way that Malinga did. Like, the one other thing I would say is you said 14 years' time, right? My guess is within 14 years, Pathorana's action will not be as uncommon as Malinga's was.
Right? I can totally see that.
I mean, it's already not, but you know what I mean. It's very possible that a lot of cricket teams around the world have a slinger within the next. It works for T20 cricket, and there must be kids trying it out there in all sorts of different ways. So it wouldn't surprise me if lots of different people come on with that action in the next 10 or 15 years. And then maybe the one thing he does miss out on is the fact that element of, I don't know how to face this. Oh, yeah, I know how to face this. We got a bloke who bowls like that at Notts. And, you know, played in the CPL with two slingers. This is fine for me. That would be that is the one thing that is very different. And if you go back to Saqlain Mushtaq Stusra and then the guys who followed him Stusra, he had a huge advantage because people didn't know what to look for. And if you go back to, you know, the Australian mystery spinners in the 60s and 70s, the first mystery spinner was absolutely unplayable. And the second one, people are like, oh, no, we know what to do now. Like, the game does evolve with the trends, right?
Yeah, no, that's a fantastic point. And I mean, that is something that I'm sure will happen. You'll see more slingers and the novelty will wear out to a certain extent. But to bowl 150 clicks with that slingy action and, you know...
And the revolutions, you know, on the ball in the weird way, all that sort of stuff. He's not going to lose that.
He has the full skill set, right? Yorker, slow one, bouncer, all of that good stuff. I mean, I agree with you. It could go either way. He could either, you know, become one of the best in the world. And I mean... a lot of people said the same thing about Bumrah, that who knows what will happen in 2-3 years.
Yes.
But here he is, after one of the worst injuries of his career, he's looking better than ever before. So that's the sort of stuff. Yeah.
Jofra. And here we are with Jofra almost never playing cricket anymore, right?
Yeah.
You know, we see these players come through and we know what the ceiling is, and they don't always get there. They don't always get the chance. There are some fantastic cricketers who never made it.
So Pathirana could either go the Bumrah route or the, well, Jofra route, or he could just find a route in between perhaps, and maybe he too, like Malinga, doesn't have to rely on pace too much, and he builds up his skill set so much. But anyway, I would also love to see him succeed. And yeah, he's definitely one to look out for. And hopefully he's fit enough to play this T20 World Cup, because
that would be really interesting. I mean, he could take some 6-wicket hauls against some of the lesser teams. I don't know how. Wait, I just looked it up. Do you know who?
Aren't they in the group of deaths or something like that?
They are in the group with South Africa, Bangladesh, and I want to say Netherlands. In the first one. Does that sound right? T20 World Cup groups. I think that's
right. It's not the New Zealand, West Indies, Afghanistan one. That one, that I know for sure. It's not the India, Pakistan one, and it's not the Australia, England one either.
Yeah. So he is going to be going up against Bangladesh. So I mean, he could create havoc there, but still a test playing nation. Nepal, he could take 8 wickets. If he plays in that game, he could take, and that's not having a go at Nepal's batting. That's just where he is. Netherlands, he could take quite a few wickets again. So he's got some games here where he could just absolutely cause all sorts of problems from that. But he's going to cause problems to South Africa and Bangladesh as well. Like, do you know what I mean? Like, I'm not just having a go at those others, but his ability to hit the stumps. If he gets to the middle and lower order of an associate team, and Netherlands is not a good example of that because they can bat a little bit deeper. But some of those other associate teams, I mean, I don't know how the hell you are supposed to play him, really. Yeah. If you know, they're not going to be very good at 90 miles an hour, and they're not going to be very good at slinging. The combination of both of those. Yeah. Good luck.
True. And maybe, you know, in a few weeks' time, we're posting that meme of Buzz Lightyear going like that. You know, have you seen that one where it's poles everywhere? So you never know. He is that kind of bowler, right? Just on a closing note, Jared, how exactly do you feel about that celebration?
You think it's a wrestling celebration, don't you?
I do think it's a wrestling celebration. I'm not really
pro-wrestling.
I haven't watched wrestling in the last 2 decades, so.
Well, that's because you're no longer 12. But look, he's got it. And we've talked about this before on a Crick Picks that'll come out soon. The problem with bowlers with celebrations like that is that sometimes they do it on the 19.4 ball of the innings when the other team's already scored 250. And it's a bit ridiculous. I think if it was me, I would bring it out for big wickets. When it was, you've changed the game, or you've taken a 5-wicket haul, or, you know, you've got a great player out. I think those are the ones I would bring it out for. But you know, look, he's a human being, who likes wrestling or whatever it is. And he's copying something good on him. I suppose he's got a trademark. I don't even pay any attention to it, to be honest. Because it almost feels like he's just sort of standing still for a moment.
To me, it seems like he's summoning the spirits of, I don't know, man, fast bowlers of yesteryear to tell them how good he is. I have no idea, but I find it interesting. It's definitely one of those celebrations that catches my eye. But anyway, that wraps up this episode of Footmarks. So if you guys enjoyed it, do give us a like and subscribe to both this channel on YouTube and Jared's other channel on YouTube. And if you're looking for all of our written work and videos and podcasts, you can head over to goodareas.co, which can serve as your one-stop shop for all the work that we do as part of this team, and go ahead and bookmark that page. It'll definitely help you in the future. So also let us know in the comments what you think about Pathirana, and how good do you think he actually is, and how good do you think he can be, and where his career will kind of end up. So give us all your predictions in the comment section, and thank you so much for joining us. We'll be back next week with another episode of Footmarks. That is all for now. Goodbye.
Thank you for listening. This podcast has an ad-free version via Patreon, where there are also many other extras as well, including a Discord channel where you can chat to me directly. There is a link to the Patreon in the show notes. We are an independent podcast, so support us any way you can. Maybe give us a review, subscribe, or share on social media. All of these things help us. And when it comes to podcasts, word of mouth is always the best way of making it grow. If we had a guest on, chances are their socials are in the show notes. Please support everyone who comes on this show. I am Jared Kimber, and this is my network. But we also have hosts and co-hosts like Baron Kazi and Estelle Vassadevan. This network is overseen by Nick McCorriston, and each episode is produced by Ishit Kaburka at Sound Potion Studio. Mukunda Bandredi, or Muku as most people will know, is the head of our YouTube channels, and he also helps out with so many other things like the podcast recording. And there's so many other people we could thank here, but I just want to thank all the listeners and all the people who help behind the scenes that make this podcast work. If you make a lot of content like me, you will need help. And that is why we use Minvo.pro, a slicing and dicing tool that uses AI to conjure up great clips from your podcast chats and meetings. If you make content, go to Minvo.pro to cut it.